In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus compares himself to a king who moves among his subjects to see how he is treated. What is done for the least of those who belong to his family is truly done for him. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. What kind of world do you want to live in? I want you to think about that question for just a moment. Don't get overwhelmed by the enormity of the question. You could sit back and go, "But I'm only one person. One little grain of sand up against 7.7 billion grains of sand scattered across a beach. What do you mean, Pastor? What kind of world do I want to live in? I can't make a difference in it anyway." But I want to challenge you. Hold on to that question. Hang on to it a bit this morning. So this is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year. And often I like to think of this as a day for us to stand back, to look across the entire year that we've lived through liturgically, gathering around the book of Matthew and thinking about who this one is that today we celebrate as our King, Christ the King. You may remember that the year began last Advent as together people gathered and began to hope and prepare for that day when Jesus would return and when Jesus would be born. We gathered on Christmas Eve and we celebrated the birth of this one who in Matthew is called Emmanuel, God with us, God who made a choice to stretch skin across bone and become human and live with us, no longer staying distant. We went in after that to the presentation in the temple. We moved on eventually to a baptism. In Jesus' life, that actually happened as he was an adult, a marking of the beginning of his ministry. We went in his teaching his preaching, his healing. We experienced the Sermon on the Mount, where he tried to teach what it means to live as a follower of his. We gathered with Jesus and the disciples in an upper room on Maundy Thursday and watched as he gave bread and wine, body and blood, and said, "I'm not going to eat of this meal until the day that I return." We watched arrest and trial, crucifixion and resurrection. We ended up in a Pentecost flurry on Pentecost Sunday, and we continued to walk through the teaching. All of that we've been doing in this last year, listening to Matthew tell us who this one is, the one that today we bend a knee to and say, "This is our King." But we're Americans. We don't know a lot about kings, do we? We like to be individuals. We like to be in control. It's hard for us to understand, most of us, what it means to have a king. Because to have a king is to mean that you bend your knee and you follow, regardless of whether you agree or not, you follow, because your life is in their hand. What kind of world do you want to live in is the question that we wrestle with this day, this Christ the King Sunday. So let me be really clear. In relation to this text, we really don't have a choice. This text is not about a choice, waking up one morning and deciding, "Well, I'm going to be a sheep." If you read this text closely, what you will see, first of all, is that it is a gathering of all the nations. And it's in the midst of the gathering of all the nations that the people are separated, sheep from goats. And the only thing that separates them is how they lived. That's it. Did they care for the least of these? It seems to me it is all about how you're marinated, where you immerse yourself. Scripture has the ability to shape us, to rub off our rough edges, to call us into a future that we might not even imagine for ourselves. Gathering in worship shapes us. Reading scripture, being in prayer shapes us. Shapes us into the kind of people who care for the least of these. Feeding and caring and visiting and clothing and listening and walking with, and so much more. What kind of a world do you want to live in? Last week, on Sunday, Pat Ounie stood in this pulpit and told you all about the banquet and how the congregation that normally hosts the banquet on Christmas or on Thanksgiving Eve was unable to do it this year. And she was challenging us to step up and be the ones that would help out with the banquet and serve the meal. And you know what? She needed 17 people to help make this happen. And just like that, 17 people stepped forward to take part on Thanksgiving, to make a meal possible for anyone who shows up. And beyond that, another 5 people stepped up because in the midst of this meal, we're also going to provide the ability for some delivered meals for some of our elders who are homebound or other people who give the church a call will do deliveries as well. That's a great kind of world to be living in. We, as a community, through our finances, have been helping to form a bridge for some families who are on the edge of losing their homes, their apartments. We get lots of phone calls here at the church looking for help, and over the last few months, the calls that I've been taking have often ended up being people who have kids at home, who they have in school, and they are a hair's breadth away from losing their apartment. One of the women who called had two kids at home. She lost her job as COVID began. When she called, she had gotten a job in mid-September, full-time working at one of the big box stores. But between losing the job and getting her first paycheck, her family helped her out as much as they could, but in the midst of that, she'd gotten behind on utility bills, she had gotten behind on her rent. When she called, she had made arrangements with the utilities company to get things caught up over the coming months. She was working with her landlord, but she was worried. She needed some help. We were able to do that through a community needs fund that Trinity has. We were able to give her not quite help with a full month's rent, not quite a full month's rent, but she began to cry because of the gift that we together were able to help her with. Council, this past Thursday night, decided that that is going to be the focus of our Christmas offering this year, is that community needs fund. I think we're going to call it the Good Samaritan Fund, a fund to help people who are trying to figure out how they can make a way forward, how we might be a bridge with those who are working but not quite making ends meet. We can do that together. It's the kind of world I want to live in. You probably know that oftentimes around here, we have people stopping by that are living on the edge. One day, Richard, as he was walking the property in the morning when he got to work, found a gentleman sleeping in the manger. Our workers, good group of volunteers, have already put the Christmas manger and everything out in Peace Chapel. Richard said, well, it's morning. It's probably time to move on. And then he asked, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you a couple of granola bars? And the gentleman said, oh, thank you. I'm really hungry. Richard learned that this man, who he guessed was about 70 years old, was from Chicago. He had gotten here. He was waiting for his Social Security check, so he had enough money to get back. They talked a little more. Richard noticed it was cold out. The gentleman didn't have any gloves. Richard went into the shop and got a pair of gloves that he usually uses for snow blowing and gave it to him. And the gentleman went on his way. And Richard said to us on staff, the longer I work here, the more I see people. What I heard in that comment was he didn't see a problem, a homeless guy, somebody taking up space in the Peace Chapel. He met a human who was in need, and he did a bit to care for him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe the question isn't what kind of world do we want to live in? Maybe the question is, what kind of world did God create for us to live in too? The kind of world where we see one another as human beings, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we feed, and we clothe, and we listen to, and we visit and we care for. Not because we're going to get jewels in our crown, not because we're going to get a better place in heaven, but because that's what God created us to do and be. That would be a great world to live in if that was all of our center. Amen.